Check out my newly renamed podcast, Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown, where we'll discuss the ongoing conflict with Iran and its implications for our economy, security, and upcoming elections. Hope to see you there. Democracy on Fire on United America Network.
Welcome to Hot Spots on the United America Network. From the shifting landscapes of politics and culture to the urgent challenges facing our planet and our communities, this is where the conversations that matter most come alive. With her experience as a journalist, legislator, and activist, Kay Brown brings sharp insight, uplifting perspective, and unflinching courage to the issues shaping our future. Get ready for candid conversations, bold ideas, and the pushback our times demand. Now, here's Kay.
Hello and welcome to Hotspots. My guest today is Reverend Dr. Dee Calmette. She is a writer, motivational speaker, life coach, and spiritual teacher. She provides positive spiritual guidance for the LGBTQ plus community and the transgender community. She is a trans woman, and we're going to be chatting about the torrent of discriminatory developments against trans people that's coming out of the Trump administration and the Congress. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dee, it's really a pleasure. And the more I learn about you, I know you have a really fascinating history and life. And so I'm really looking forward to...
And we're just Dee and K today.
That's okay. Right. I'm really looking forward to getting your insight into the situation that's facing transgender individuals in our country today, as Trump and MAGA continue to flood the zone with attacks and the Congress considers criminalizing gender-affirming care for minors. In December, the U.S. House passed a bill sponsored by Marjorie Taylor Greene that criminalized health care for transgender youth by adopting Texas-style bounties for doctors and others who provide medical care, transportation, or support for minors obtaining gender-affirming care. Although it's doubtful that Greene's bill will pass the Senate because of the filibuster, it is still remarkable and alarming that the United States House has endorsed such a blatantly discriminatory proposal. We'll get into that a bit more later, but I want to start, Dee, with your fascinating background, and let's hear a little bit about you and who you are.
My doctorate, everybody asks if they would like a medical diagnosis, but my doctorate is in spiritual science, not spiritual theology. Theo is a God. Spiritual science is that there is a science behind all of the spiritual practices that we have in this world. And if we stop and get out of our head into our heart, actually, we will see that the Buddha, which Buddha was 500 years before Christ, we will see that the Krishna, we will see that Allah, we will see that the different tribes in Africa, everyone at the core, at the very core of what it is the same thing. And Kay, that key core is L-O-V-E. And I tell people, if you have problems with the name Jesus, if you have problems with the name God, if you have problems with the name Spirit, those are your problems that you have. But can you just understand that love is a greater force than we are, and yet we are it at the same time when we stop and source it. So in my teaching that I do, I started out as an evangelical. As an evangelical.
Was this before or after your transition?
Oh, this was before. The transitioning is still going on. Well, let me back up. I've been married twice, once to a wonderful woman and once to a wonderful man. Learned from both of them. Because the truth is that this is just the earth school. This is the earth school, and there are lessons that we're learning in it. And either we choose to learn the lesson with joy, or we choose to learn the lesson the hard way, and it comes by a 2x4. And I think, and I jump all around, but I think right now with this political climate, we're choosing to learn some lessons by a 2x4. Because there are issues that are being brought up that a lot of people would have never thought of had the severity of these happenings not happening, such as the transgender issue, the immigration issue, the ICE taking people, and I could go on and so forth. Right now, it starts with the transgender, because that seems to be the easiest, because even in the LGBTQ segment of the community, it is one of the least understood. Because if you're a boy, why would you want to be a girl? And then comes the rhetoric. Well, you know, you send your kid to school one day, his name is Steve, and he comes back Stephanie. Okay, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. When I was maybe two, three, right in there, and my name was Steve at the time, and I presented as a boy. Number one, I knew I was different. And if you listen to any LGBTQ people, the one thing that everybody agrees on is I knew I was different, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what to call it. I just knew I was different. And I was playing with this little friend of mine, African-American black girl, and she said, I want you to meet my mommy. So she took me to meet her mommy, and she said, Mommy, this is my girlfriend, Stevie. She's a girl, but she looks like a boy. I never saw her again after that. Now, I'm 76 years old now. All these years, I wondered, is it because I was a girl that looked like a boy? Or was it because I was white? What was the reason? Or is it that children in their pure form actually see into the heart and the soul of a person and can really tell the identity of a person? It's a good question. Mm-hmm. Because you know, when you have children around you, you may want to introduce them to people. And you've seen, I'm sure in your time, that children will shy away from certain people. What is it that they know intuitively that adults don't pay attention to or have gotten in a fog about? So, in wondering that, I didn't play with dolls. I didn't play. My childhood was a horrible childhood of a lot of abuse that went on. And then it got to be put in the religious world where there was a lot of classical Pentecostal. There was a time that I went to church every single night with my grandmother, and she sang in a quartet, and she used to sing the Oral Roberts tent meetings. And I remember as a baby, actually, because my mother left me at the hospital and my grandmother took me, that I would be in a little bassinet on the front row of these big tent meetings where they had maybe 10,000 people. And the quartet would sing, and a little folding chair would come out, and Earl would sit on the folding chair, roll up his shirt, his sleeves, and reach his hands out and say, heel, heel. And so that was my background. I went to school to study theology. I didn't do well in theology. I wanted to be in music instead, and so I went into gospel music. But as I said, it doesn't work for me. So after my divorce from my wife, I left the church and I moved to San Francisco. And I also became aware of various lifestyles of gay people, of the flower children, of the, it was back in the 60s, 70s, where it was what we call free love at the time. And I began to learn how to embrace people of all sorts of different factions without judgment. So back to the Trump situation, I'll call it a situation. First of all, if I happen to be speaking to anybody that is a transgender person, either a trans woman, a trans man, a non-binary, gender fluid, all the names that we have going with it right now, the one thing I need to say to you is be visible. Be visible. Do not be invisible. We are not going to be invisible. So when I look at this and I read the whole bill that Marjorie Taylor Greene presented, and it talks, the title of it is Protect the Innocent Children. So I'm looking at that, and it goes on to talk in the first line about gender-affirming care. Okay, I knew it was going to talk about that. And then, comma, it says, and other issues. Excuse me? We're going to pass a law that is ambiguous. What are other issues? Are those issues the ones that if you are a medical professional and you're dealing with somebody under 18? Because as I read one of the laws, even before coming here today, the way that it was stated is anybody under 18, that there could not be any mental health, any sessions having to do even with group sessions, everything, there could not be any of that. There could not even be any anti-bullying groups that they were allowed to attend. So I'm reading more and more in this, and I'm thinking, when one comes to a point in their life and they say, do you know who I was born, the gender I was born, is not the gender that I am? Because your gender and your sexuality are two different things. And that you understand that when this godness, this creator, this force greater than you, this love greater than you, the connection that you had, that in the beginning made humankind, along with the other animals, in humankind, for purposes of procreation and things, there's male and there's female. So in reading this one bill today, it said that we define men and boys as those who can produce sperm. And we define women and girls as those who have eggs. And there are some that have medical, and we will make special provision for those. Really? So you're a woman? And for some reason, you choose not to have a child, or you can't have a child biologically, or you're a man, or these things. No, this is ludicrous, absolutely ludicrous. And you're going to find a doctor who is able to help you to be the true person that you are, 10 years in prison, even? And you're concerned because you're concerned because I walk into a women's bathroom like this? So you want to find me a felon and give me 2 years in jail and fine me $10,000? Well, let me ask your audience, quite blankly. Do you want this going into your men's bathroom? Some of you who want this going into your men's bathroom, I guarantee you, you won't be married by the time that I come out of there. Stupid things, you know? We need to be able to think clearly. How does my gender affect you? If I'm gay and you're a male and you don't find men attractive, don't go out with them. If you're a woman and you don't find women attractive, don't go out with them. Same thing with abortions. You don't believe in abortion? Don't have one. You don't believe in being a transgender? Don't be one. Don't be one. Be stuck with your old ugly self. You understand what I'm saying? That morality cannot be legislated. Cannot be.
Why do you think there's so much opposition to the transgender concept, that people just want to declare it doesn't exist, it's not possible, God made man and woman and that's it, and we shouldn't accommodate this, and it's, you know, harmful? I mean, why is that so difficult for people to accept the reality that transgenderism exists and that there are people who have this experience and they just want to deny it and, worse than that, criminalize it and punish it? And I mean, it seems like, you know, Trump and MAGA and extreme right have put transgender people on the tip of the spear. And this is the group that we're going after now.
Now.
And we're going to call them out and pass these laws and do these things. And of course, we haven't really talked about the Trump initiative, which came about after that bill passed. But I guess he realizes he isn't going to get it through the Senate, so he's going to try to do it through administrative regulation, mm-hmm. which will take a long time mm-hmm. if they follow the procedures, which they don't seem to be particularly interested in following the procedures, so no telling what. But it would deny funds to hospitals that provide care, or I guess that house doctors that do this.
What it is and what we're experiencing part of that right now is that if a doctor who is part of a federally funded hospital does care on somebody under 18, now that care doesn't have to be surgery. That care could be psychological care. And believe me, before anybody ever does any type of surgery or physical appearance, there is a lot of psychological tests that go into that. Are you a trans woman? Are you simply a man that is a cross-dresser? You know, all of that, all of those tests have to go in. And then before any medical things happen, then you have to live a certain way with certain criteria. And all of that is monitored. So the funding is not only the doctor that gets pulled, the whole hospital or medical community that's related to, the federal funding gets pulled. Everything. So they're hoping that by cutting the federal funding off, that it will put all of this in place. And in places like Utah and Idaho and some places, it has. But what people need to understand is this: the mental health of our country is in the toilet. No matter what side you're on, the mental health is in the toilet. And you may have not felt like you wanted to bully somebody or put down somebody for them being different, but things come from the head. And the orange person at the head has made it okay for you to be hateful. And so therefore, any bigotry that you've had in your life, anything that you've seen having to do to make fun of trans people, or remember years ago when we had the comedy shows on TV and the Flip Wilson would dress up like Geraldine, and these, they were funny skits. But now those skits aren't funny. We make fun of people that live like that. It's a whole difference. So it's the hatred that we're establishing that goes worldwide, because shamans who have been around forever are what the Native Americans would call two-spirit. For a long time, I felt like I was two-spirit. And when I went into counseling, I said to my various psychologists and psychiatrists and things at times, and I said, I'm a two-spirit. And it took years for me to come to the point where I say, no, I'm a trans woman. I didn't want to admit that to myself. I could be a two-spirit, yep, and I could look this way and look that way and I'd be okay. And yet there was something inside me that didn't ring true.
How old were you when you made that decision to acknowledge the situation?
I was in my 70s.
Really? Your whole life?
My whole life. You know, I left the ministry. I went on to be a Vegas entertainer, impersonator, and went on to be a impersonator doing shows all over the world. I've done them. And people would say, oh, you're so beautiful, or look at your gowns. I'd say, remember, it's just a uniform that I wear. It's just a uniform. Trying to justify, but understanding that when I presented in a certain way, a part of me was alive, and a part of me that had been dead was alive. Now, I ask people, even now that work with me, I say, can you see the difference in the transition from when Damien was here and when Dee here? And across the board, it's, oh yeah, we can see. You know, both are nice, but one walks in and they don't ask if there's a seat at the table. Miss D doesn't ask if there's a seat at the table. She knows there's a seat at the table. Miss Damien comes in and he kind of blends into the wall and he'll listen to all of your opinions. Miss D, I've got an opinion and I'll share my opinion. It's a differentness and it's a softness from the inside out. Now, I started this transitioning from the inside out about 35 or 40 years ago. And I believe that before we ever transition anything on the outside, we must transition on the inside. And I was part of a music venue in Oakland, California, the Oakland Auditorium, and I was soloist gospel music, as I had mentioned. And there was a group that was part of the show, and there was a lady that was part of that group, and she hadn't arrived yet. But in the rehearsals, people are bickering and bitching and whatever. Oh, the lighting isn't right. Oh, can I go after this person? Can I do this? And this woman walked in, and there must have been 50 people in the rehearsal, and the room got quiet. The bickering stopped. She didn't say a word, and I understood her name to be Damien. There was love, acceptance, and forgiveness that poured out of that woman. And Kay, in that moment, I said, that's for me. and I started the transitioning from the inside out. Now, in going from Damien to D, that was been kind of a hard one for me. And the D basically came because I didn't want people to have a hard time with having to figure out a name. But then when I researched it, D means daughter of God. So I looked, I thought, oh my gosh, everything that I've been working on almost all of my life from the inside out. So what do I do with the Trump stuff? You know, dump the Trump, you know, but what do I do? Don't become so involved in the problem that you don't be part of the solution. If you become so much a part of the problem that you're not visible, then yes, we will fade away. Yes, there is a movement to incarcerate a lot of us. There is a movement that we have no credence, we have no credibility. But to let that happen, we can't do that. We won't do that. So, yes, I'm aware of Trump targeting the transgender people. I'm aware of MEGA. I'm aware they're using discrimination to do this. But I'm also saying this, be aware of what's going on. Do not saturate yourself in it. And look for allies around you. Allies that support you. Look for a time during the day that you simply can stop and you can have an internal dialogue with yourself. And I'm great on the breathing. You can sit there and in the midst of the storm and all the crap that's going on, you simply allow peace to come into you that goes from the top of your head down to your heart, down to your feet. And you look and you go, I don't know how, I don't know when. I'm visible. And this stuff is going to pass over. And I'm still going to be here.
How can allies, people that are sympathetic, help? Do you have suggestions or advice for people who are sympathetic to this, to trans people, but how should we show up in the public square to make a difference on this?
If you don't know somebody who's trans, make it a point to get to know somebody that's different than you. If you do know somebody, ask them individually, what can I do? I believe this I say it this way, LGBTQ isn't just one letter. It's all of it together. And when one of the letters is hurting, all of it is hurting. So how can I support if I am a ally when somebody makes a joke about a trans person? When a comment is made about trans person, when the subject comes up, I have a choice to either speak up or keep quiet. How many times when issues come up about anything, do we just simply keep quiet because it's the easiest thing to do? No. Silence equals death. That's what we said back in the AIDS crisis. Silence will equal death to all of us at this particular time. This didn't start with Trump. This started back in 1930s with the doctor in Berlin that was doing all the experiments that was going on. And it's just, and maybe even before him, that was going on. Trans people in one way or another have been around for years. Remember Jesus in the Bible when he stopped with the Ethiopian eunuch, okay? Now that eunuch was neither male nor female. That eunuch was a eunuch. And some of them were eunuchs by choice. Others were eunuchs having to do with their religious experience and duties that was done. That's a whole new subject too, just in the history of that part. So how can you help? Don't be quiet.
Well, I think that's a good place we can end this conversation, at least for now, because we do need more people speaking up. The Trump administration is targeting transgender people because it can.
Yes.
And they're using this as a starting point to discriminate against all LGBTQ plus people. And then beyond that, all non-white people, and then all non-Christian people, and then everybody else who doesn't agree with them.
Because the red hat, rather than say make America great again, no, if you read that red hat, it says make America white again, mm-hmm. just like the forefathers and the original thing. And whatever isn't white has to be a form of slavery, and that includes women.
So we should all rise to the defense of transgender people because they're entitled to the full protection of the Constitution, and also to prevent what comes next after Trump and MAGA normalize discrimination against transgender people. It's just the beginning, and we need to draw a line here.
Yes, we do.
And more of us need to be raising our voices against this blatant discrimination. Let us not be among those who look back and say, they came for my neighbor and I did nothing.
That's right.
So until next time, stay strong, keep resisting, and keep loving your neighbor.
And yourself.
You've been listening to Hot Spots with Kay Brown, where tough issues meet thoughtful conversation. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and join us again as we spotlight the struggles, solutions, and stories that fuel resilience and change. Until next time, keep your fire burning. Hot Spots is a production of the United America Network and is available on most major podcast platforms, as well as from unitedamericanetwork.com. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
If you've had enough and want to wake up our recalcitrant Congress, join me on Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown for the top 23 reasons we need regime change now. Hope to see you there, Democracy on Fire on United America Network.